It is an exciting thing to think about what's in the future for these children. I remember when our children were young, the fear that I sensed as a dad, what are these children going to have to grow up and go through? But I'm guessing every mom and dad probably went through the exact same thing. And God is faithful to be there and to direct and to give courage and to show the way for the parents. I look back and I look at parenting and I wonder, man, how in the world did we ever do it? And I realize we made so many mistakes. But again, God's grace, His faithfulness to us that we can trust in. I've titled my message this morning, see if I can get this to go to the next one. You might have to move it the first time just to get us there. Experiencing growth through nourishment. How many of you had breakfast this morning? I'm not going to ask how many didn't. We'll just leave that. But a lot of us had breakfast this morning. We need nourishment to continue growth. I listened this week to a story, and I'm not going to give all the details, but just of a mom and her little girl. They were in an earthquake, and they went for 8 days without food and water. And they were rescued. There were some ways where they got a tiny bit of nourishment. I'm not going to explain how that was, but they went for 8 days without food and water. There's only a certain amount of time that we can live without nourishment. I'm not sure what that is, but I'd say 8 days is getting pretty close. All of us desire some type of nourishment. We need nourishment. We can't do without because we will eventually die. We listened to the parents this morning that were standing up front here. We heard a little bit, just I guess we didn't hear, but we thought about the fact that yeah, they want to raise their children for the Lord. They want their children to make a difference in life. But the fact is, every one of those children that they had up front here have needs. They have needs, and those needs are only provided by mom and dad. If mom and dad were to turn against their child and not provide those needs for them, what would eventually happen? There'd be death. I'd like to look at four different scriptures this morning. We're going to go through these pretty quickly. The first one I have listed is Matthew, and this message I'd like to have directed somewhat towards children and also towards personal growth. Matthew 19:13 says, "Then there were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence." So it says here in verse 14, "For of such is the kingdom of heaven." We're going to go to the next verse that is very, very similar to this in Luke 18. And again, there it went. Luke 18, where he says, "And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not." Again, here he says, "For of such is the kingdom of God." Then he adds a little bit to the end there. "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." Let's go to the next one, which is in Matthew 18, verse 1 through 4. "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Now we have a little bit of a different setting here. The disciples are arguing amongst themselves. Who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to be the biggest here? "And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them." I want you to picture that. Imagine here we have the 12 disciples and they're fussing. I want to be the biggest. I want to be the one that has the power. And Jesus brings a young child and puts him in the midst of them. And he said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Let's go to the last one of these four, which is Mark 10, verse 13 through 16. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. A beautiful picture of, I guess I look at Jesus here as his compassionate heart for children. The fact is, and we all know this, sometimes children can kind of get under our skin, can't they? They try our patience. Jesus showed such compassion here. And I guess that's in the place where I'm at as a grandpa. That's who I want to be to my grandkids. I want to be somebody that shows compassion, that shows love. But it says here, he talks here about receiving the kingdom of God as a child. And if we don't enter. So my question was, how do we receive the kingdom of God as a little child? Hopefully we'll pick up some of that as we go. But he said, the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these little children. If we go back to the, let's see if I can back up here a little bit to the one with Matthew right here, where the disciples came and they were fussing. Jesus gave some directives here in this scripture. He told them, he said in verse 3, he said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children. And I had to think about that word converted. I'm not sure what your idea is of that. But when I think about the word converted, I think about there's a turnaround. Something has changed. I'm no longer going the direction that I was going. Now I'm going the opposite direction. I have a new goal. I have a new destination that I'm heading for. But Jesus told the disciples, that's the first thing. Except you be converted and become as little children. And I had to think, well, what are you talking about there? Become as little children. He brought this young child out into the midst of them there. And the first thing that we see in this child, he was humble. He says that in verse 4. He said, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. That one's the greatest. So we need humility. That's the first thing. Maybe we're awfully proud that we're humble. Okay, so that doesn't work. Humility. Knowing that it's not about me, but it's about Jesus. It's about the Father. It's about worshiping Him. There's faith. And there's trust. If I'm going to trust and if I'm going to be converted to start with, I'm going to let go of myself. The idea is that we ask Jesus to move in, I'm staying. We ask Jesus to move in, and when I need help, I'll call on Him. Other than that, maybe stay off to the side a little bit. I'd like to live life like I want to. No, that's not what He's telling us. He's telling us we step to the side, Jesus moves in. And what He directs, we say yes to. Yesterday I asked my wife a question. If I'm going to be completely sold out to Christ, which is our desire, but if I'm going to be completely sold out to Christ, and God asks something of me that is totally against what I want, what am I going to do? Each one of you has that in your life. What am I going to do? Am I going to go the direction that Lynn wants? Or am I going to say yes? Whatever it costs, I'm willing. We have a beautiful example. This is what Jesus did. Jesus came, He gave up His desires for what the Father wanted, and He said yes. And because He said yes, and gave us that example. Now we are to say yes and be willing to follow whatever he calls us to. Trust can be difficult. That's a struggle for me. To actually tell God, okay, God, I'm giving all this to you and I'm going to allow you to do with me exactly what you want. But I like to tag behind that, but don't hurt me. Do what you want, but don't hurt me. But trust says, God, I know who you are. I will give you everything. And I trust that what happens is for your honor, for your glory. That's what Paul said. Paul was willing to do whatever it took to be whatever he had to be for the sake of bringing another person to Christ. Hebrews 3 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ, 13 verse 8, I'm sorry, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. That's confidence for me. The idea that Jesus doesn't change. He remains faithful. Something for you to do sometime. Sit down and think about all the times where you know that God was faithful to you in your personal life. I think you'll be surprised how many things you'll write down. How many times was he faithful? We can look at the children of Israel and we can see how many times he was faithful to them. We can look at Paul's life. We can see how many times he was faithful to Paul. The disciples have a whole row of things that they can say, yes, he's always been faithful and he always will be. So I want to know Christ. I want to know who he is. So when I walk this life, that I know I can trust him. So how am I going to get to know him? I want to go to 1 Peter 2. Verse 1-3. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. There's a key here for us. He talks here about desire. The NLT talks about cravings. Newborn babes in verse 2 there. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. A baby can't do much, but they will let you know when they're hungry. You will hear that. Moms can say, yes, we know all about that. Normally, there's only one thing that will satisfy that baby, and that's milk. He says here, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. He's talking here about us desiring the food of the word, I guess I'll say. That ye may grow thereby. As the babies have that milk, as they continue to drink that milk, they continue in growth. We're concerned if our baby doesn't grow because something is not correct. Something is wrong if the baby doesn't grow. How about me and my spiritual walk with Christ? If I am not growing spiritually, wouldn't we say there's something wrong? I believe so. What's my desire? I talked about this not too long ago. And I don't mean to just repeat myself, but sometimes maybe repetition helps us remember. What is my desire? What is my craving? Ask yourself that exact same question. What are our desires? What are our cravings? I'll give you a craving that, see if I can explain this. Years ago, I did lawn care. I did lawn care in an area where it was really, really warm. There was one lady specifically, an old grandma. She was a dear soul. I was out there mowing, and the sweat was just dripping off of me. And she would come out there with a very ice-cold glass of Dr. Pepper. Some of you would probably say no Pepsi or Coke. Did it satisfy? Not really, but boy, was it good. My mind goes back to that. I would love to have an ice-cold Dr. Pepper. That's a craving. That's an earthly craving. Some of you have other cravings. Maybe it's that specific gun. Maybe it's a bow. We've got some hunters over here. maybe that's something I'd love to have, and I'm going to be willing to pay for that specific thing. I'll work extra if I have to. Maybe I want that Vitamix blender. Maybe I want that Instapot. Maybe it's a special tractor that I need. But I'm willing to go the extra mile to see if I can earn. Maybe it's not just a desire, maybe it's a need. But I'm talking here more about desire, about craving. We all want something out of life. Every one of us here. And we have cravings. Every one of us could admit that here, because we all do. And they're not all wrong. I'm not saying that at all. How do I change my cravings in life? And I'm talking about spiritual or not spiritual. How do I change my cravings in life? So maybe there's a time where I had desire for things that were ungodly. How do I change that? I can tell you about it, but I can't do it. It has to be a work of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit can help you change those cravings. One of the cravings that I desires that Bond and I have been talking about that's in my heart right now is a desire to know God in a deeper sense through seeking Him in prayer and reading the Scriptures. That's one of my cravings right now, one of the desires that I have. But it's not going to happen if I keep my Bible closed and I choose something else other than spending time with God. If I have a desire to know my wife better, I'm going to spend time with her. I've shared that here many times. But the cravings, the desires that we have in this life are very, very important. Are my cravings drawing me closer to God? Are they taking me the other direction? That's a question we all need to ask ourselves this morning. Because we are all, every one of us here this morning, are actually going a direction. We can sit in the pews. We can stand here. And we can make it look like we're going the right direction. But when we walk out the doors, we'll really say where we're going. Our everyday walk, how we live, really says where we're going. I can preach to you this morning, and if my heart is not turned towards Christ, if my desire is not Him, I'm going the wrong direction. Direction matters. We want to draw close to Him. We want to go the direction that He's calling us to. David says in Psalm 27, he says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple." David had such a desire. I want to know Him. I want to be close to Him. I want that fellowship with Him. David really, really messed up in life. But he sought forgiveness and he sought the Father. And the Father said, "He was a man after my own heart." That gives me hope. Max Lucado's mother. Max Lucado is a pastor and a writer. His mother had spent many hours by her bedside praying, and she found a place where she would meet God. She had a hard time walking through her bedroom without stopping by her bed to talk to God some more. That's beautiful. We get busy in life. I'm not trying to paint a picture here this morning that life isn't real, because it is. We get busy. And the fact is, sometimes we forget that our desire is to be for Christ. And things happen. Sometimes we have to backtrack. We've got to go ask for forgiveness. And that's okay. That's actually progress. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us and we have to backtrack a little bit, that's progress. I don't want you to take that this morning and think, "Oh, I did it again." No, we're not opening the door to sin. But sometimes there are stepping stones that we have to take to continue our growth pattern with the Father. That means we have to go back and seek forgiveness. F.B. Meyer was an evangelist of the late 19th and 20th century. F.B. Meyer saw many, many people come to the Lord. There was a day where he preached to 30,000 people. And he said the key to his success in ministry was this: prayer. A life of prayer. His wife said, "I would oftentimes get up at night and I'd walk down the hallway." He wasn't in bed. "I'd walk down the hallway and there was a light on in a tiny little closet that they had. And she would go up and she'd put her ear to the door and she'd listen. And F.B. Meyer was in there on his knees, praying for the lost, because his heart was turned to the Father. One of the quotes that F.B. Meyer made was this. He said, "Prayer is an exchange between our hearts and God's presence. We bring our burdens, we bring our sins and our struggles and our hopes. And in return, we receive God's peace, His power, His perspective, and His strength." That's beautiful. To put it in real simple terms, we bring our junk to God, and He sends us off with something beautiful. There's something else that happens as I seek God. As my desire for Him increases, my hate for sin also increases. There's a good way to test. Where are we at with this desire? Do we hate sin? Or is sin just okay sometimes? Joseph was faced with a very, very big temptation. Joseph didn't say, "You know what? I'm afraid my boss will see me. I'm afraid the pastor's going to see this." No. Joseph said, "How can I sin against God?" Because his heart was turned to the Father. I'd like to leave us this morning with three words. We're going to find those three words in Psalm 37, verse 3 to 5. The first word is trust. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust. Delight thyself also in the Lord. The second word is delight. And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And then the third word is commit. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So this morning, as we think about being fed, as we think about finding nourishment, as these little babies have nourishment that they receive with the milk, and it helps them to grow, I have to ask myself the question, am I growing? Am I experiencing that growth? Or am I malnourished? A malnourished baby will show really quick that there's a lack of food. And I have to ask myself again, am I malnourished? I want to invite you to get into the Word. This is where we find our nourishment. This is where it's at. The Holy Spirit lives within us, and He's very excited to help us. But we do have to say yes. So that's my challenge for this morning. Would you stand and we're going to pray? Yes, absolutely. Okay. Okay, so Wayne Yoder, some of you may know him. He's up there on the corner of Marvin Road and 66, I believe, that is waiting for a heart transplant. Any other requests before we pray this morning? Okay, let's pray. God, again this morning, we're so grateful that we don't have to be malnourished. We're thankful, Lord, that your Spirit is at work within us and that you are excited to see us grow. God, I pray that you would help us this morning, that we would have desire to seek you and to allow you to minister into our lives. God, we need you. Of ourselves, Lord, we just fail over and over. But because of your grace and your mercy, you are there to take our hand, to guide us, just like a parent does a child. You're there to feed us, also just as a parent takes care of their children. God, I pray that you would help us in our direction of walk this week, that we would show who we are as we walk with you. Help us not to be ashamed, but help us to be bold for you and sharing your love with those around us. We pray for Wayne. God, you know the situation he's in at the hospital waiting for a heart transplant. We ask, Lord, that you would minister to him even today as he's laying there. And God, at the right time, if it's your will, we ask that you would bring the right heart, I guess, to make that transplant. Thank you again for who you are. Bless our church family this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have a song.